thinking? Because his voice is almost gone. It's going to be a shorter sermon. I've been saving it up. And a deeper voice, well, maybe I'll have more gravitas. Well, maybe not. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for the moving of your Spirit, that you would speak, and we would hear you. Oh, that you would help us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A story is told about two brothers who were walking down a New York City street, and one of them lived there in New York. The other was living in the Northern Woods, and as they were walking along, the one who lived in the woods said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" His brother said, "No, what?" He said, there's a bird singing in that tree just down the block." His brother said, "Get out of town, I don't believe you." But they walked down the block, and sure enough, they got to the tree, and there, up in the tree, was a mockingbird singing his heart out. "Come on," his brother said. "How did you do that? How could you have heard that?" His brother said, "Watch." Reached into his pocket, pulled out a handful of coins, dropped them on the pavement, and every head within earshot turned. "It just depends," he said, "on what you're listening for." The question we might start with this morning is, what am I listening for? What am I listening for? What is it that turns my head, that grabs my attention as I walk through life? A question we might also ask is, am I listening for God? Would I know his voice if I heard it? I want to bring this up because I believe that God spoke to us very clearly last Sunday. Every week we try to listen for what God is saying and doing here, and every Sunday our leadership team praise that we'll be sensitive to God's Spirit, that God will rule and overrule in every aspect of what we're doing. It's his service, that we will give it to him and go where he wants us to go. And here's how I believe he spoke to us. One of the things I had been pondering the week prior was whether we should dedicate the whole service as a time of prayer, as we did the previous year. Sometimes we've done that, where we basically turn the worship service into essentially a prayer meeting, because we figure if we can't get you to come to the prayer meeting, we'll bring the prayer meeting to you. No, it's just sometimes the Lord moves in such a way that we know we just have to pray. That, you know, that matters more than anything else. And, I sensed that God wasn't leading in that direction for us. It was intriguing to see what he did. Paul, during our praise time, read a quote from C.H. Spurgeon about prayer and how she's learning that God, you know, doesn't stand like this when we pray, that he opens us, that he welcomes us with open arms. Paula, you didn't know you were going to be part of the sermon this morning, but you know, that's just kind of what happens around here. earlier in the week, someone had sent me an excerpt from our Daily Bread, from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, about how much prayer matters. And Nancy just happened to have a copy of it with her that she usually leaves at home. And in those moments, it became very clear to me that God had a message for us. And the message, Spurgeon sums it up well. "The motto for this year must be, continue earnestly in prayer. Again, the motto for this year must be continue earnestly in prayer. So we will listen and stay this course of prayer, and I so look forward to what God has waiting as we do. Tennyson summed it up well. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because the truth is, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we look at prayer as, well, you know, work sometimes, other times, maybe not. But it's not a question of whether or not prayer works. It has to do with other things. It has to do with relationship and drawing near to God. And so we come to our scripture this morning. Four absolutely transformational verses, if we'll take them in. A teaching from Jesus that we've heard before, but please listen carefully. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask, seek, knock. Now, you may remember when we looked at this passage in the past that each of those words refer to continuous action in their original sense. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that's the direction I'd like us to move this morning. Last Sunday, Paula kindly let me borrow her book by Spurgeon, The Power of Prayer. And in the very first chapter, Spurgeon points out that each of these commands, ask, seek, knock, are on an intending or an increasing ascending scale of intensity. Now, I'd never seen that before, but I think it's right. Jesus always made his words count. He wasn't just using rhetorical device when he says ask, seek, knock, using different words to say the same thing. He's asking and seeking or knocking and knocking are each different things when it comes to prayer. And this matters because I believe we often simply stop at asking when we need to go further. And that can cause us to wonder if our prayers make any difference at all. We don't always get what we ask for, and pushing harder doesn't always mean that we will either. God is God. He will do what he will. But if we don't make the effort to keep going, we won't get it. We won't see it. We won't have the strength to accept it and to ascertain what God is doing in a way with tenderness of heart, so that we can really grasp it and accept it. We won't be able to hear him, to know the comfort he gives when our prayers aren't immediately answered. So let's go a little deeper. Please stay with me as we look deeper into Spurgeon's explanation. It is said that first that we ask, I suppose, that refers to the prayer which is a mere statement of our needs, in which we tell the Lord that we need this and that and ask him to grant it to us. But we learn the art of prayer, but as we learn the art of prayer, we go on further to seek, which signifies that we marshal our arguments and plead reasons for the granting of our desires. And we begin to wrestle with God for the mercies needed. And if the blessings come not, We then rise to the third degree, which is knocking. We become importunate. We are not content with asking and giving reasons, but we throw the whole earnestness of our being into our request and practice the text which says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." That last part is a reference to Jesus' statement in the latter part of Matthew 11, 12. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Forceful men lay hold of it, as one translation puts it. You sometimes hear prayer defined this way, as a push, if you will. Pray until something happens. But prayer starts with simple asking, but sometimes that doesn't go far enough, does it? And we recognize that. And we see this in Scripture. Think about Elijah when he prayed, one of my favorite illustrations, he prays 8 times for the rain that God had already promised. Why does Elijah have to pray 8 times for that? I don't know. But apparently, in the wisdom of God, that's what the case was. Elijah knew that. Elijah is not a minor prophet. He's a major prophet. So he's used to hearing from the Lord and spending time in God's presence. As a matter of fact, Elijah is considered the major prophet. And again, 8 times he prays. And I fear that sometimes we stop because we give up hope and faith. You know, I prayed about it. Nothing happened. And as a result, we end up discrediting prayer and doubting God at our worst. But what God may actually be doing is inviting us to push back harder, to take that next step. And as a result, Spurgeon talks about marshaling our arguments, giving God reasons why our prayers matter. Did you ever do that? That is seeking. It is absolutely vital for a living and real relationship with Him. And you see this all over Scripture. Abraham did it. Think about Abraham when he's praying for his nephew Lot, who's living in Sodom. And he says, "Well, will you spare the city for 50? Well, how about for 40? Will you do that?" And you know, it looks like he's bargaining with God. And the interesting thing is that God allows it. Now, you know, we can look at that from all kinds of angles. You know, theologians can struggle with it because, well, is that prayer predestined? You know, or is it, I mean, does God, you know, is it predetermined? What's going on here? God knows what's going to happen. I don't know. But the point is, Abraham has entered into a relationship with God that causes him to pray that way. Moses did it. Same kind of thing, interceding for the people of Israel. Jacob did it. Jacob wrestled all night with God. Elijah did it. Remember? Elijah said, "Lord, just take my life." Again, we referenced him earlier, but Paul did it. Jesus did it. This is the next step to prayer that I think we often don't take, and we need to, because the more we give ourselves in this way, treating God as a real person sitting in front of us, the more His reality becomes apparent in our circumstances. And the more definitive we get in our praying, the more we will have access to the mercy of God in our everyday living. And so we come to the third approach, knocking, knocking. Each of these approaches draws closer to God. Asking starts at a distance. Seeking takes a step closer. Knocking. Oh, that's making some noise. But before I describe this, it's important to make clear that God loves it when we come to him this way, because it shows that we're taking him at his word. We're engaging him. And again, praying like many in Scripture. And there's nothing half-hearted about this, but this is also not pitching a fit and saying, you know, oh, my will be done. That's still prayer at a distance. Because when you're praying that way, your eyes are on your circumstances. And your eyes are on what you want, not necessarily on what God may want and what God may be doing in the circumstances. So the key to knocking is love. Love for him above all else, with our hearts reaching for him. We go to him with humility, but with passionate boldness, because we are his children. Spurgeon explains each of these steps, asking, seeking, knocking in this way. He says, faith asks because she believes God will give. Hope, having asked, expects and therefore seeks for the blessing. So you're seeking as you're talking with him. Love comes nearer still and will not take a denial from God, but desires to enter into his house. And to sup with him, and therefore knocks at his door till he opens. Do you see that progression? Please look at it carefully. Knocking on God's door is all about love. It's the kind of prayer that takes the time to be with him and do nothing other than to seek his face and his presence first of all. To give ourselves to him in the middle of the mess, and then keep on asking. Asking, knowing that you're loved. Asking, knowing that you can trust him. Think again about what Jesus said. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's this kind of praying where God draws near and gives us gifts of his Spirit, like we were talking about earlier, gifts that are just for us, that will get you through no matter what. You know, that's the kind of praying where when Carrie was interceding for Jeffrey and the Lord made clear to her that he was going to use Jeffrey in ministry someday. It's this amazing thing. Again, that I didn't get that. She got that. But that was something that was a comfort for her and that gave her the strength. How do you get that? That sounds weird, right? And sometimes God will do that. He'll put this notion in our hearts and in our minds that we understand is from him. Because when he speaks to you, you know that you know that you know that you've heard from him. There's something about his speaking to you. And then that enters into that very thing that you're praying about and gives you the confidence to persevere in your praying. Why? Because you're in his presence. That's what Spurgeon is talking about when he says you're supping with him, if you will. This isn't just prayer as we go about life. This is prayer because God is our life. Because we draw life and hope and inspiration and strength from him. Two of you gave me another great book this Christmas by Joseph Carroll, entitled How to Worship Jesus Christ. And in the third chapter, He talks about how God gives himself to those who give himself, who give themselves to him. And what he means is that in being worshiped from the heart, God communicates his presence to us. Carroll puts it this way. He says, we know that the body has senses, and it is by the senses of our spirit that we are made conscious of the presence of Christ. God is a spirit who can only be worshipped by that which is spiritual in us, by our spirits. To many, this is difficult because we cannot see him with our physical eyes or touch him with our physical hands. But he can be seen and touched and handled by the senses of our spirits. So the question is, are we growing in those senses? What are we listening for? Are we able to hear his voice more and more and enter into that place of fellowship with him? There's so much here we could keep on going. Maybe we'll talk more about worship next Sunday. We'll see where the Lord leads. But let's sum it up this way. Don't knock praying until you've prayed knocking. Because when we knock, when we pray, oh, the door opens. Jesus said it would. God is faithful, and he is there, and he will make himself known, even if we have to wait a while. And if we don't find ourselves getting exactly what we've asked for, we'll still find ourselves content. Because when the door opens, it opens to his face. And with the eyes of our heart, if you will, remember the senses of the Spirit. The eyes of your heart is a scriptural term. When you begin to see him that way, and you know that he's smiling upon you in his love, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And how much more is he than any gift? He is the greatest gift of all. And when he smiles upon us, we know it, we know it. And so, dear one, ask, seek, and by all means, knock. And when the door opens, all will be well. May we pray.